We've been preaching a series of messages on prophecy because it's essential that we know about the coming of the Lord Jesus. He is coming back. And the purpose of studying Bible prophecy is so we'll know. We'll get the clues that God is giving us saying, this is how it's going to be. And I think this is the third message in the series. There might be a fourth one after this. I'm not real sure. I'm pretty sure there's going to be one. But my task in preaching this is it's like the watchman on the wall saying the enemy's coming. Well, the enemy is coming, but better news than that, the Lord Jesus is coming. And you need to be prepared for it. We all do. We're rapidly approaching what's referred to as the rapture of the church. Now, realize the word rapture is not in the Bible. It simply means a catching away. The day that when Jesus comes for his bride, the church, all born-again believers, he's going to come and pick us up and lift us up and take us out of this nasty old world because God's going to pour out his judgment on the world that has rejected him and hated him, and he's going to rescue his children. We're going to begin by looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So if you would, turn to that. I hope you already have. Get a head start on where we're going. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Nothing unclear about that. The Lord is in heaven right now. He ascended to heaven after he was raised from the dead. And he's in heaven right now. But he's coming back with a shout. It says, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, personally I think that's us. I just believe it's us soon. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, is that the second coming? No, it's not. That's the rapture of the church. If you notice, it doesn't say he's coming to put his feet on planet Earth at this point. Oh, the Bible clearly teaches that he shall. But that's not what this is referring to. This is called the rapture of the church. And I want you to look at the next verse. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Who's the one another? It's Christians. The news of the rapture of the church when times are terrible like right now. I don't know about you, but there are some days I get up and say, Lord, this would be a good day to go. What I see going on around me, it'd be a good day to go. What's happening on the news, this would be a good day to go. Are you ready? It's good news that it's going to happen. I don't know when, but it's going to happen if you're a born-again believer. Now, if you're not a Christian, this is not good news for you. No, this is going to be bad news. But if you're saved and you know it, you can say, thank you, Lord. I'm going. I'm going. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to be going. And so I can be comforted by this. We need comforting. We look around us and we see people that are rejecting the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You try to witness to some people and they say, huh, and they turn around and they walk off. That breaks my heart. I think it breaks yours too. We need some comforting after that. Well, that's the world we're in right now. And we see the world that's saying that bad is called good now, and good is called bad, and evil, and it's upside down and it's backwards. We see Satan seem like he's taking over more and more and more as people reject the Lord. Well, comfort one another. We can get a degree of comfort knowing that the rapture is a reality that's coming and coming very soon, but there's a degree that is mixed with sorrow for those who will be left behind. I don't know about you, I've got family members that are lost. And if the rapture took place today, they're not going. They're not going to be left behind because nobody's told them. They just don't care. They've made another choice. You probably know people like that too. So there's a bit of sorrow involved as we're being comforted about what's going to happen to us as Christians, but there's a bit of sorrow involved saying what's going to happen to those who are not up, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Comfort them. I want you to keep this in mind and just turn a couple of pages in your Bible. Mine, it's about two or three, to the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. You're in 1 Thessalonians. Move right into 2 Thessalonians and look at the second chapter. Beginning in verse 6, it says, now you know what withholdeth that he, might be revealed in his time. This is a reference to the Antichrist. He is going to be revealed at the right moment in time. It doesn't talk about whenever he's going to be born, but it says he's going to be revealed in the right moment of time, but he is being withheld. Something is holding him back. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. He's already working. He just hadn't been revealed. He who now letteth or is restraining will let or will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked or the wicked one, the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When the Lord comes back in power and great glory, that's what's going to happen. But we want to know about this Antichrist. He is going to be revealed, but until that moment in time, he's being held back right now. The one who is holding him back is the Holy Spirit of God, who is in the church, in you and in you and in you and in you and in me. He lives in us as believers, amen? When you trusted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you said, come into my heart and into my life. He sent his Holy Spirit. He came in the form of his Holy Spirit to live within you. And so the church is a collection of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is the power that is holding Satan back. Think about it for just a moment. Were it not for the church, were it not for Christian people, people who believe the Bible, wanted to obey God and live godly lives, if it were not for folks like us, what would this world be like? Evil would be totally run rampant, completely. No restraining whatsoever. No question about morality or immorality or anything else. Satan would be free to do whatever he wants to do. Well, that day is going to happen, because immediately after the church is removed is when the Antichrist is going to be revealed, because he's going to be unleashed completely. The Bible refers to the Antichrist as the beast sometimes. And I want to look at that now. If you would go to the book of Revelation, the last book in your Bible, and look at the 13th chapter. And in chapter 13, we're going to find out about the beast. The Antichrist, who is going to be revealed right after the rapture. How quick right after is, I don't know if that's one day or 1 hour or a year, but it's going to be after the church is gone. He'll be free to do whatever he wants to do. So in chapter 13, beginning in verse 4 of Revelation, it says, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? How powerful is he? People instead are going to be worshiping the dragon. Well, that's Satan. That's Satan. Worship the dragon. That's Satan. He's the one that gave the power unto the beast. He's the one that is going to empower the Antichrist. It's going to be like the Antichrist is not only the puppet on the string, but he is empowered by Satan himself. Are you with me? The beast is going to be a human being. Flesh and blood human being, but empowered by Satan. Not just somebody who has been controlled by demonic forces, but empowered by Satan, chosen by Satan, given the task by Satan to accomplish Satan's goal. And it says, the power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who's like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him? He's so powerful. Who can possibly stand against him? Through him, Satan is going to accomplish what he's always wanted to do. He's the dragon. He's always wanted to be worshipped. And it says here in this verse, right, very plainly, they worship the dragon. They worship the Satan. As they worship the beast, they're worshiping, going to be worshiping Satan. You know, people worship Satan right now. You can find satanic churches. But the beast hadn't been unleashed yet. No. But they're all going to be worshiping him. Look, they worship the dragon. They gave the power of the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like him? Who is able to make war with him? You say, how do you know that's what Satan's always wanted? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Have y'all got that one? Oh, you do. Good. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Another name for Satan or the devil. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Keep going, please. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Keep going, please. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan has always wanted to be like God. He always wanted to be God. He always wanted to be the one that everybody worshiped. Guess what's going to happen? What's going to happen here during the tribulation period when the Antichrist takes control? Go back to Revelation now, chapter 13, verse 8. It says, and all, circle that, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Everybody. All that shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, there's going to be some Christians here, some people who are born-again believers. They got saved after the rapture, but they didn't get saved before the rapture. If they had, they're not going to be here, right? We're gone. But some people are going to be saved after the rapture. They will not worship the beast. They're going to pay the price. They're going to pay the price. Look carefully. There's going to be a one-world religion. Everybody who is not saved, doesn't have their name written in the book of life, they're going to be worshiping the devil through the beast. How are they going to do that? What's going to make them do that? Why don't they just slough it off and just say, oh, so what? Well, Satan has somebody else that's going to be working alongside the beast. It's one called the false prophet. Same chapter 13. Beginning of verse 12. It says, and he exercised all the power of the first beast. This is the false prophet. The first beast is the Antichrist. And he has the same power. Caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. His job is to get the world to worship the Antichrist and Satan, whose deadly wound was healed. That's what's going to be happening. There's going to be such a wonderful thing that they're going to say, man, he's supernatural. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. They say, he must be God. He's sending fire down from heaven. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. One religion. Everybody's going to be worshiping the beast or die. Christian martyrs? Yeah, that's going to be almost synonymous. Supernatural powers given to convince people to worship the beast, and those who refuse are going to be killed. We need no more information, don't we? Keep reading. Verse 16 says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. And we're all familiar with that number. I mean, you know, it's been tossed around so much for years. We know, we're familiar with it. Is it reality? Yes, it's reality. That's the number of the beast. That's what identifies him. And it says they're going to have it in their right hand or in their forehead. And for years they speculated that we're going to tattoo it on you, going to stamp it on you. Somebody else says, no, man, they can inject it in under your skin right now. They've got the ability to put a little computer chip right underneath there and they identify you. You wave your hand and you get to buy and sell. Oh, listen, the technology is there for this to happen right now. You say, but there's going to be some people going to say, I don't want to worship the beast. I don't like it. Now, they're not Christians now. They haven't been born again, but they don't like it. And they say, no, I don't want to do that. And somebody says, okay, don't. Go to the store and see what you can buy. Can't get any bread. Can't get any milk. Can't get any eggs. They don't know. You can't buy anything. Well, I'm just going to plant me a farm. Go try to buy some seed. Try to buy a chicken to get some eggs. Try to buy a cow. Can't do it. You don't have the mark. You can't buy or sell. No one will be able to buy or sell anything without the mark. You say, but I got to do something to feed my family. Go get the mark. So there'll be people who will resist, but they know it's wrong, but they have a tough decision to make. Get the mark or watch your family starve to death before your eyes when you have the ability to feed them. It's going to come down to that for a lot of people. So here we have one world religion worshiping the beast. And in order to enact this and enforce what we're talking about here of the controlling the ability to buy and sell, it's going to have one world government. One government controlling everything. And one economy and one currency. And that's how it will be. People who believe in that right now want to see that happen. They want to see a one world government and one economy and one currency. They're referred to as globalists. They want everything globally, all on everything under the planet. And many of them even include reducing the world's population to make it easier to control. Now, how can that be? All these nations have their borders, all these nations have their governments, all these nations have their own currency, they've got their own armies and everything else around the world today, but things are changing. Oh, they are changing. Our borders, along with many others, are being ignored, erased. You can hear said carefully, listen and say, we have no southern border anymore. It's wide open. If there's no control, there's no real border. There's just a line that says that's where our country stops and that's where Mexico begins. But if there's free flow of traffic going across the border, is there really a border there? According to the latest figures in the month of August, there were 232,979 people who were detained as illegals crossing the border. Did you get the number? Nearly 250,000 people. What border? You say, well, that's just here. That's just our southern border. Many nations are encouraged to do basically the same thing and have their laws being subjected to international laws. Let one government control us. We don't need to have all these laws. I mean, after all, we get along with the Germans, the French, and the Poles, and everybody else. We all get along, just except maybe the Russians. Everybody, you know, we can have our own borders. No, we don't need them. We'd have peace if we just all came under one government. We could be under the rule of the UN and the World Health Organization. Need to tell you a little bit about the World Health Organization. They have announced plans that include worldwide control. They have announced this publicly by capitalizing on the information that they gained from COVID-19. What they learned from COVID-19 and the response after COVID-19, they learned that people can become frightened enough by a virus to close schools, to close churches, to shut down businesses, stand 6 feet apart, wear masks, and get an injection of you don't know what. They learned, they said, hey, we can control people. We can open this store, shut that one. We can open this bar, shut that church. We can control people. It worked. And the World Health Organization said, that's a lot of power. People will do what they're told if they're frightened enough and think that we have the ability to protect them. Would that include taking a mark? They believe what worked then will work again whenever they choose to. They say, well, how in the world would we enforce it? The United Nations to enforce their laws. You say, well, we never would manage that. Anybody pay attention to the speeches that were made before the UN this last week? Did you notice that our president said this? He said, in the event of a global crisis, we would be willing to give national control over to the United Nations. Our president made that statement. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking about how the world is being prepared for what's about to happen. And you say, oh, well, okay, well, maybe about that. But wait a minute, what about this money thing? How are they going to control our money? They can't control our money. We can spend our money any way we want to. How are they going to do that? Cashless economy. Online banking. Anybody do online banking? Sure you do. Don't hold it, raise your hand up. You feel guilty. Order online, pay online, have it shipped FedEx. Shoom, it's at your front door. How much money did you take out of your pocket? Nothing. What happened? Well, I took this little card I got and I gave a number to somebody. I don't know who they are, but I sent them this number that said, this is my credit card or my debit card or whatever it is. And they said, okay, we got that number. We'll check it out. Oh, that's a good number. We know what we'll do. We'll take, you're going to buy something that's going to cost $100. We're going to take $100 out of your account and we're going to put it into our account. You just bought it. We sold it. Everybody's happy. The government got a tax out of it and we got some overhead for processing it. That's how it works. That is how it works. More and more people are using less and less cash. It's convenient. I mean, I got plastic in my pocket too. I mean, got gasoline, got a haircut. I don't get a haircut. I use cash for that. Any place else you go, you right? Credit cards, debit cards. No cash. Just numbers. Just numbers that are changing from one account to another. There's digital currency, cryptocurrency, bitcoins. Bitcoins were the bit of the rage for a short period of time. Some people made millions on bitcoins. Bitcoins were backed up by absolutely nothing. Nothing. You used to look on your dollars, they would say, silver certificate, way back when. You old folks might remember some of those. It doesn't say that anymore. It was backed up by a certain amount of gold and silver. But a Bitcoin had nothing. In fact, somebody says, Bill, Bitcoins are going to be worth so much money. The guy said, yeah, and listen, I'm going to sell it tomorrow and it's going to be worth a little bit more. And the guy said, well, I want to get some of those. It's going to be worth more than it is now. So I'm going to get me some of those Bitcoins. And then the next day, I'm going to sell it to somebody else, and it's going to be worth more. And it's going to get, it was a Ponzi scheme. It worked. Worked wonderfully well. I heard about a man just this past week who took a couple $100,000 and turned it into millions in a short period of time on Bitcoins before it crashed. Evidently, he got out of it before it crashed because he made his money. He made money. Big time. Is it reality? Yeah. But see, that's no money. Not currency involved. PayPal. You know, PayPal doesn't have any money except what you say that you're giving them through your credit, however you, and then they're sending some. They have no money. They're not a bank. No actual money such as U.S. dollar, Japanese yen, British pound is being involved here. It's just computer-to-computer transfers. Easily monitored and controlled. I don't want to scare anybody, but folks, that's the world we're living in. How can they control what we spend? Control the computer. Just control the computer. Shut it down. Say, oh, I'm sorry, your credit card's not any good anymore. Boop. Now what? Read something just yesterday. I thought it was kind of humorous. This guy says, we need to get somebody to fix those ATM machines. He said, I've been to 5 of them. Every one of them say insufficient funds. I thought it was funny. It's a frightening world. You say, okay, but wait a minute. All right, if I don't do that computer-to-computer transfer money stuff like I've been doing, what happens if I actually pay cash? In other words, if I wanted Brother Jim, I said, Brother Jim, you got an old lawnmower you want to sell me? And Brother Jim says, yeah, I'll sell you this lawnmower. He says, I'll take $100 for it. Man, I got $100. Pat gave it to me. I got my allowance. I can go buy that lawnmower. And I said, Jim, you would a startup make it run? Yeah, right. Great. Man, it runs good. Here's your $100. Thank you. How in the world can they stop that, huh? That's cash between me and Jim, right? Nobody's going to know about it except you and me, Jim. Wait, do you have a cell phone? Me too. I don't know about your cell phone, but my cell phone. Hey, Siri, call Pat. I didn't know there wasn't a little lady on the other end of that thing named Siri. I thought for sure it was some little lady listening all the time. Her name was Siri. And she knew of all the Pats in the world, there's only one of them I wanted to talk to. That one. And in a matter of seconds, her phone's ringing. Because I said, hey, Siri, call Pat. How'd that happen? Computers, artificial intelligence. We are that far advanced. I could say, hey, Siri, I want to know something. What's the population of the United States of America? Siri would immediately come back. 332 million people. In seconds. Ask Siri any questions I want. Now, you got a different kind of phone. Yours says, what is, it's not Siri, it's what, the other one? Alexa. Thank you. That's the one that talks to you, and you talk to. Do you realize that in order for Siri to do that, Siri has to be listening to everything? Everything that I can hear, Siri can hear. Everything that you can hear, your phone can hear. And if it can be heard by a computer somewhere that can answer the question, what can happen? Can it respond? Can it react? If the government want to shut down the business deal between me and Jim on that lawnmower, you think they couldn't come say, wait a minute, I'm sorry, the UN cop is here, Jim. You can't sell him that lawnmower. You don't have the mark, and he doesn't either. This is reality. This is not spooky stuff, but it's reality. This is the world we're living in. You say, well, I don't know. I don't like the sound of that. Can I tell you what's spookier than that? Smartwatches. Depending on what smartwatch you've got, it not only monitors everything, and it's not only listening like your smartphone is, and it's connected to your smartphone, but it monitors your health. Does it not? If you got the right smartphone, it tells you what your heart's doing. It's telling you about your blood pressure, telling you about your temperature. It'll tell you whether you're sleeping or whether you're awake. Did you get enough hours sleep last night? Your smart watch will tell you. It'll tell you how deeply you slept. Some of them will even tell you if you're snoring. How fast did you walk? How far did you walk today? Where did you go? It traced your steps. Your smartwatch did. And on and on and on the list goes. If that thing knows all of that, who else knows it? I mean, there's not a computer that can fit in that little bitty thing. I know there's no person in there. How can it get all that information? Somebody someplace else has another computer. And the information is being sent, it's being traced, and it can be monitored and it can be recorded. In 1949, a man by the name of George Orwell wrote a book called 1984. I remember reading it in high school. I know, dark ages. And everything he talked about in there that was going to be taking place in 1984. How he chose that year, I don't know. It's just arbitrary. I mean, it's 1949. Well, he wrote the book in 48 and published in 49. He talked about how the police would have cameras monitoring the street corners. Anybody drive by a traffic light lately and not see one? How the government was going to be able to control what you bought and what you sold. How they were going to be able to listen in on your conversation when you didn't know they were there. Read 1984 and you can put 2023 and say, wow, he was a little bit ahead of things, but he was exactly right. If you read the book, it's today. It's today. You said, Brother Allen, are you trying to scare us? I hope so. Folks, Big Brother is here. That's what he referred to as the government, as Big Brother. It's here. The tribulation period with the beast, 666, is near. Our world right now is prepared for the tribulation. The only thing that's keeping it from happening is the church is still here and Antichrist hadn't been revealed. That's it. The tribulation is so near. Well, that means the rapture is nearer. It is nearer. Are you prepared for the rapture? Are you prepared for the tribulation if you miss the rapture? It's going to happen whether you're prepared or not. These things are going to take place. You say, when? I don't know, but it looks like pretty soon from what I can see. Where are you going to be when it happens? Listen, if you want to make sure you're totally prepared, it's real simple. You just trust Jesus. Quit trusting the government, trust Jesus. Quit trusting in yourself, trust Jesus. Quit trusting in your intellect, your job, and in whatever else you're trusting in. Quit trusting in the church, trust Jesus. Amen. Trust Jesus. Be saved today and you won't have to fear anything that's going to happen in the tribulation period because you won't be here. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm looking forward to flying up there with you. I hope every single one of us. But if you're not sure, if you're not sure that you're going to miss all the terrible things of the tribulation, listen, you can be sure. It's real simple. All you've got to do is repent of your sins and say, God, forgive me. I admit I'm a sinner. I've broken your commandments, but you sacrificed Jesus to pay for my sins so you can forgive me. Please forgive me. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Be my Savior. And He will, in the form of His Holy Spirit, enter into you. And you are being right now part of the power that's holding back Satan. And you'll be lifted up. Here's your chance. If you've never done it, here's your chance right now. This very moment, right where you are. Here's your chance. When's this going to happen? I don't know. Maybe this afternoon. I have no idea. All I know is there's not one prophecy that has to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church. Not one. Everything else has been fulfilled. We're waiting. Ticking of the clock. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us Bible prophecy, warnings about what's coming. Lord, we can see how you're set the stage for it all happen. The technology is here that wasn't here a few years ago. We can see things that our forefathers couldn't see ever taking place. Thank you, Father. You're warning us. Lord, if there's anybody here that's not sure they're saved, I pray that at this very moment they'll cry out to you, even while I'm praying. They'll cry out to you, oh God, forgive me. Dear Jesus, save me. I give myself to you and receive you to myself. Oh, Father, thank you. If anybody's praying that right now, Lord, I know you're saying yes and you're doing it. You promised you would. But Father, I pray for Christians that are living like we've got forever, forever, forever to tell somebody else about Jesus, that we won't see how quickly time is passing, how soon all of this is coming. And we've been lazy. Forgive us, oh God. I pray that you will put people on our hearts that we know and we love, that we might go to them and throw aside every distraction, every excuse, every hindrance, that we might go to them and say, please let me talk to you about Jesus before it's too late. Turn us into the bold witnesses you want us to be as a church, Lord. Please. Have your way now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.